Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to Viviana Hill. Tonight, we are going to partner with our friend Alice Linehan and Women on the Wall. So you're going to be hearing their conversations and hopefully get an awful lot of information. So please stay tuned. Okay, we're still trying to get set up, so please bear with us. Apologize, it's taking some time, but hopefully just a few more minutes. Okay, here we go. Hold on.
Muted.
We'll take over of our education system. And at the Can I See conference, Jane Robbins was talking about the new AP U.S. History framework and curriculum or exam, and that this framework had been released, and there was great concern of the key concepts and the themes and the anti-American sentiment in this new AP framework. And she asked at the conference, she gave the call to action, if people knew who their State Board of Education officials were, to contact them and let them know that this new framework came out. And Ken Mercer, who is a wonderful State Board of Education elected official here in Texas, was sitting in the audience and said, hey, I'm on the State Board. Maybe I can do something about this. And he had the opportunity to meet with Jane Robbins and sit down and talk to her about what possibilities
conference
there were.
Recording stopped.
And so, I'm not sure why that conference recording stopped.
Conference recording started.
Not sure why that stopped. Ken Mercer and Jane Robbins worked closely together and came up with the resolution to reject a push and admonish the College Board for this new framework that has come out. And we were successful on the 17th and then on the 19th to to make some major key things happen in the state of Texas. And what we did the first day that the first amendment that was passed on Wednesday said that any AP or IB courses in the state of Texas must align with the Texas standards, our TEKS, our standards, which do include our great heroes, our military heroes, our founding fathers, all of the, our great rich history, our standards and our TEKS required. So that amendment made it clear that any AP or IB courses must align to the Texas standards. On Friday, that following Friday, a resolution was passed 8-4, which admonished, they don't use the word admonished, that was changed out of the resolution, but it did basically reject the framework and ask the College Board to come back and either push it back or redo the framework. So that was a huge victory. It was an 8-4 vote, and there were 8 Republicans who voted for it. There was 1 Republican who abstained from the vote. And interestingly enough, that 1 Republican was State Board of Education Thomas Ratliff. And the folks on this call who are from Texas were all very familiar with Thomas Ratliff because it was ruled by the Attorney General of Texas that he was on the State Board of Education illegally because he was a paid lobbyist for Microsoft and has been for the last 13 years. And there has been a push, myself included, as being one of the people trying to work hard to try to get Thomas Ratliff impeached from his position on the State Board of Education. And I want to move on to the other states, but one of the key things that I want to say about Texas and that victory that we had, it was not easy, and I don't think it would have happened had we not been spending time on this conference call for the last 8 months and understanding the big picture and the strategies and tactics that have been used to implement, one, the Common Core into 45 states across this country. If you look at the strategy of implementation, they said it was state-led by the governors. In fact, we know that that was not true, that it was the Governors Association that owns the copyright to the Common Core National Standards. That's a strategy of saying that it was state-led. In Texas, we had the situation with C-Scope. They said it was district-led. Well, in fact, that wasn't true. The 20 education service centers formed a nonprofit organization, and they owned the copyright, the copyright to the framework, the lessons, and the assessments. It was the same strategy and implementation as the Common Core. Well, when you look at APUSH, it's the same people. It's the same strategy of implementation. You have the College Board who owns the copyright for the framework, which controls the teacher, the assessments, which controls what the teacher teaches in the class. So it's the same strategy and the same tactic. And so when we fought this battle here in Texas, we understood the strategy and tactics of what this really meant. And we understood the huge amounts of money that were coming in and these organizations that are very well funded by the Gates Foundation. So I just wanted to lay that groundwork. So as we talk about from state to state what's going on in the different states, I wanted you to understand kind of where we started from in Texas. this and where we are moving to. And the next that I want to go to is, and I'm pulling up, let's go to Arkansas. And I want to introduce to you one of my heroes, and many of you probably, she's one of your heroes as well, because you know her as that incredible Arkansas mom who annihilated the Common Core math, and I think it was under 3 minutes, and the video that went viral. And Karen is in Arkansas, and she is working together with a team to expose APUSH in Arkansas. And they're just getting started, but I want to start out with you, Karen, because I think everyone on this call probably knows who you are by that video. And so I want to give you a minute to introduce yourself and to talk about how you've moved from the Common Core battle to the APUSH battle. So are you there, Karen?
I am. Good evening.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Thank you so much for being on.
Well, I'm Karen Lamoureux, and I am in Arkansas. I am a board member with Arkansas Against Common Core. Grace Lewis is our founding chair, and there are 12 of us on the board. We have over 70 delegates around the state, which act as an extension of our board. I like to think of it as boots on the ground, so to speak. And we have been fighting Common Core since last year. We still are. We go into General Assembly in January. And so we're hoping to introduce a few bills to eliminate Common Core. But in the meantime, this APUSH issue has come up as well. And another board member by the name of Betty Yerger and I are working with Jennifer Hopper, who is a county committee woman for the Republican Party in Lone Oak, Arkansas. And she is really doing the bulk of the work on this with regard to writing resolutions, one opposing Common Core and one opposing APUSH, so that hopefully when the Republican convention meets this December, we can get those resolutions approved. And in the meantime, I'm working this week on putting together just a one-page informational piece for parents that gives them the who, what, when, where, and why on APUSH and why they should be making some noise about it. And we'll be adding that to the PowerPoint presentation that we give around the state with regard to Common Core. And hopefully, you know, just bridging those two items together, we can increase some awareness and put pressure on people to take some action here in the state of Arkansas. So that's where we are. And I'm certainly new to the APUSH conversation, and would love to learn more while I'm here on this call and share ideas with anyone else that has them.
Thank you, Karen. And, you know, that really is the opportunity that we have with this conference call, is to share with each other what's going on from state to state, so that when we need reinforcements in each of our states, when there is something happening, that we can give reinforcements from outside of the state. And also, you know, not reinvent the wheel sometimes when someone like yourself comes up with a great one-page flyer on APUSH or Common Core, whatever the issue is. It's great to have a name with a face and have been on a conference call and know that we're in the battle together. So I'm going to leave your line open. So if you, as we move kind of through from state to state, if you have a question or a comment and want to interject, please feel free to, Karen.
Thank you.
Great. And next, I want to introduce to everyone a just wonderful friend and another hero of mine who has been in the trenches and has really taken on this issue of APUSH, and they are working it in the trenches. And Sherry has been on our call before to update us, but I want to get another update from Sherry Timmerman from South Carolina. How are you doing, Sherry? Let's see. She might have her line muted.
Sorry, there
Sherry.
I am.
There you are. Okay, great. Sherry, how are you doing?
Just great, Karen and Alice. And I'm glad you pointed out that Karen is the Arkansas mom we're all so proud of. I even replayed your video this evening just to get re-energized, Karen. That was so good. Well, here's what's happening in South Carolina. APUSH came on our radar mid-July, and we rallied the troops. We have spoken about APUSH, four, five, six of us, 2 months in a row at our State Board of Education meetings with no response, no reaction. We ran a full-page ad, full-color ad, on Sunday of Labor Day weekend here in Charleston, which got quite a bit of exposure. It's the one some of you may have seen of Uncle Sam with the education banner across his chest saying that the College Board has left out all of our heroes, and Larry Krieger helped us compose that ad and get it in the paper. And we all will be talking about Larry, I'm sure, in a few minutes in further detail. The retired AP U.S. history teacher who exposed the new framework earlier this year. We have written letters to the editor to bring APUSH into the people's awareness. We were mentioned in the Charleston paper last week featuring the photo of the kids, the students, with their walkout in Colorado. And we have Sherry Few, the president of the organization I'm involved with, which is South Carolina Parents Involved in Education. Sherry will be interviewed by Tara Servatius, our favorite talk show conservative here in Charleston. That'll be Monday, so that Sherry can remind people to attend the State Board of Education meeting this month, held next Wednesday, October 8th. We intend to pack the room, and Jane Robbins will be on the agenda along with a representative of the College Board, and Jane will present a version of the Mercer resolution for acceptance or adoption by the State Board. I don't know how it will go, but we certainly have gotten their attention to get it to this point. We even, I brought up the issue of APUSH at a debate held last night by the three people running for State Superintendent of Education. And so we're just trying to make people more aware of it, and it is working. It's got a great group of people that are very committed to this. We only have 5,000 students taking the AP U.S. History course and exam here in South Carolina, so that's only 1%. Whereas you in Texas have 10%, and you've certainly broken the ice with the College Board and have made them react on various levels. And I think they're a bit on the defensive. We understand there might be a release of a new version of the framework. We're not expecting much change in that based on Larry Krieger's assessment. And I think that's about it from South Carolina for the moment, but we'll have a full report, hopefully a very positive one, next Wednesday on the Women on the Wall conference call. Thanks so much, Alice.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Sherry. And, you know, it's one of those things that if we can get the ball rolling from state to state, much like the Common Core, is being pushed back from state to state, I think that there's a huge opportunity in educating everyday moms and dads of what's actually coming into their children's school. And one of the things that I think is so interesting about this APUSH issue is that it really does affect those kids who are in public school, private school, charter school, and homeschool, because so many of those kiddos take that AP exam and then also take the SAT exam that is owned by the College Board as well. And I want to introduce our next state. We've got California. calling in, and I want to introduce to everyone my my new friend on Facebook, and just another hero that has stepped up to the plate and is making a difference and working to make a difference in her state. And I'm trying to unmute you here. Let's go. There we go. I believe that's it. Domenica, are you there on the line?
I'm here, yes. Thank you so much, Ellis. Yeah, it's exciting to be a part of this from out in California, where we're still the dark state that's not acknowledged as fighting against Common Core, one of the 10, but we are here and we're shouting and just waiting to be heard, and we'd love to get some attention on the A-Push front. And I'm a part of a group called Faithful Christian Servants, and we're here in Orange County. We host forums with, we have Dr. Duke Pesta coming in next month, Sandra Stotsky. We have a lot of exciting things coming up in October and November here in Southern California and Northern California. So we've linked up with leaders all across the state through Facebook mostly. And I've also created a Facebook page for every county in California, and they're all by the same name, like San Bernardino County Against Common Core, or whatever the county name is Against Common Core, because we have had such success in Orange County just getting connected in person through Faithful Christian Servants, and we just want that to grow across the state. So we've been working on that. We've even got a we've been going to our Orange County board meetings, and probably for close to a year now, regularly, and they've agreed to host a special meeting about Common Core in October and November. So that's exciting, too. And then we've got the AP U.S. History Comes Along, which I heard about on your wonderful conference call about last July, I think. And I said, wow, we need to do something on this. So I contacted Orlene Perla, who has been very closely working with our group. She's the president of Eagle Forum in California, and hopefully we'll get her on the line too tonight. And Orlene just is so amazing. She instantly was like, you're absolutely right, we need to do this, and she wrote a resolution the same day and sent it off to our State Board of Education. I was also in contact with Corey Peterson at Concerned Women for America, and she helped me get a statewide resolution as well. So we've got both of those. We're just working on getting those on that agenda for our state board meeting on November 13th and 14th, and that has not been an easy task. So I think it's going to take a lot of phone calls and a lot of pressure. We'd really like to see that on the agenda and get it addressed, because here in California, I was blown away when I realized we have approximately 60,000 students who take the A-Push every year. And I believe that's the most in the nation, which would be about 13% of the College Board's market. And Arlene has already spoken with Larry Krieger, and he says we have outstanding standards here in California, and they're very specific, and we have a really good case with the strength of our standards to show that this is not aligning what College Board has done. So that's what we're up to.
Well, and I think that you make a really important point with that huge number of 60,000, because that does impact every other state, in that if we can all work band together to really support California in this pushback to A-Push, that puts a big dent, if you will, in the College Board. So as we're moving forward with this movement, I think that that's an important aspect to I want to, Orlene is on the call, and I believe I have you unmuted, and I would like to, Domenica, I'll let you introduce Orlene to everyone on the call. You already did, but I'll let you kind of tell everyone again one more time who Orlene is, so we have it clear on the call, and I'll let you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Domenica.
Orlene is our president of Eagle Forum for California. She's amazing. She's been working very closely with our group here in Orange County. She's written two books about Common Core, and she's fabulous.
Thank you very much, thanks, Dominica. And I think Dominica is wonderful. In fact, we honored the whole Faithful Christian Servants as at our state conference because they are so outstanding. They got one of our group awards for being so outstanding, and it's a pleasure to meet with them and work with them. And Dominica did challenge me to come up with a resolution, and I did, and it was presented at the recent Republican State Convention. Everyone had a copy of it in their packet, so 1,200 copies were made. And I tried to have it presented as an emergency resolution, I guess, to have them officially. You were supposed to have it presented months earlier, but the lady said, oh, yes, this sounds so important. Let's have it as an emergency resolution. Well, I guess it didn't happen. But at least they all have a copy of it. And I did, there was a group of us who went to the state capitol building. We tried to meet with the governor. We tried to meet with our state superintendent. That didn't happen, but we did give them a packet that had the resolution in it, and then I have since tried to call them to ask what they've done with it. Didn't get any response, so we're hoping we're just going to have to riddle them with more calls to finally get some kind of a response. As you know, in California, we are a very lopsided state, a very dysfunctional state legislature, because the liberals, the Democrats, so outnumber the Republicans in every single committee, and they don't really pay a lot of attention to us. They don't show a lot of respect to us, but we're fighting anyway, and we're hoping to make a difference. And I did have the opportunity to meet with Larry Krieger at our National Eagle Forum Council that took place just a week and a half ago, and he did tell me that California, like Texas, we have a very firm set of standards that govern U.S. history. And really, these APUSH standards are a total violation of them. So that is why I then have contacted this wonderful attorney, Brad Dacus, that represents the great organization that he founded with the Pacific Justice Institute. And 20 years ago, the Pacific Justice Institute had an injunction against something here in California called the California Learning Assessment System, was able to put it on hold and eventually stop it. So I asked him, could we not do the same thing with these APUSH standards, have an injunction? So if Brad is on the line with us, maybe he can answer that question. Was Brad able to call in,
yes,
Alice?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it is now my pleasure to introduce to you Brad Dacus, who I consider kind of like an adopted son. He is so absolutely wonderful, and he's helped us with so many issues, and the Pacific Justice Institute even helps people outside of our state. They do this free of charge, representing Christian parents in all the many battles that we have. So now Brad maybe can answer that question about an injunction, and if we can do that here in this state, maybe that's something you can also do in your states.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm here. Thank you very much, Orlene. I really appreciate the gracious introduction. Of course, the books you've written, the material you've given, produced, has been very helpful to us on the Common Core issue. But as far as on the litigation side, 2 points. I know it's two separate points on that. One is, as far as Common Core goes, I think the angle we're working with, and I'm really excited about that, all those in Orange County that are taking advantage of this, is to see the Orange County Board of Education vote to give funding to school districts that are Common Core, but also those who are not using Common Core, and then watching school districts. You know, there's at least one that will probably break away and do that, and I believe so. But if that opportunity happens, then I think we'll be in a very strong position to empower and enable other school districts to do what they feel is best for their community and their kids. But the issue on the education, AP history, the first step is to show that, is to be able to prove that the new standards, the new AP standards, are in violation of the standards of the state of California. That's the first hurdle, and they have to be, there's great deference given to issues of, the court's giving great deference to the state as far as issues of curriculum and curriculum choice. So we have to show that, no, this is what the state has, this is their curriculum choice, this is their position. Yeah, that's the first hurdle. The second hurdle, of course, is also having proper standing to be able to bring it. There are actual limitations on the ability for private citizens without special injury to prove an injury to be able to challenge it. And then, of course, we also have ripeness to have to show that it's imminent and that, but for a court action, it will take place, it will go into effect. Now, I'm not quite so sure we're at that point either. This is going to take some research, and it's a possibility. The class test, by the way, was a preliminary injunction that we were able to get in four different counties by four different judges to empower and allow parents to opt their children out of a class test or the state assessment test. The AP is already optional. No one's required to take the AP history test with the new standards, so it's a little different of an animal, but there's a way we can challenge it successfully. We will, and of course we'll be happy to hear what other people are doing in other states and whatever angles they may be taking to try to replicate that as well. And we'll be happy to swap notes with others interested in what we're thinking about doing.
Well, and it's interesting, Brad, when you look at, we were talking about the strategies and tactics of how they try to kind of control the narrative, if you will, here in Texas. And one of the interesting things that they used was the military children. And I know that California, there are a lot of military folks in California, and it was interesting because the week of the vote, right before the vote, there was an article that ran in the Dallas Morning News, and that article was the author of the article was a woman named Mary Keller, and she's with an organization called Military Children Education Coalition, and her argument was that we could not harm the AP, and we needed the A push because it would be detrimental to military children who move from place to place, and that they needed those AP points. And to help, they needed that help in getting into college. Well, what was interesting is we found out Jane Robbins and Larry Krieger had written an article about the funding, and it just so happens that military organization had gotten over $1 million from the Gates Foundation, specifically to push the Common Core. And what happened is there was an article that was published. Jane Robbins put out that information, and then our friend Merrill Hope, who writes for Breitbart Texas, had put out an article, the Pro-Common Core Texas Military Ed Group supports AP course that erases military from U.S. history. And they actually had a representative from this organization who testified during the against the resolution on Friday. But we also had a gentleman, Roy White, who is from San Antonio. He's a military veteran, and he's actually run several nonprofit organizations for military children, and he testified that, in fact, this new AP framework would be detrimental to our military children. So when you talk about, you know, proving that it's harmful to children, I think that's one of the narratives that we were able to really counter, and it's fun to give you a heads up about that, especially with California having, you know, great military folks in California.
Yeah. I think that's really good to note. It's difficult to show, to convince them based on harm, as far as from the court perspective, that that's something that could be put in potentially to a complaint. But the strongest is to show an explicit violation of the state standards or state code with the new standards. And my understanding, working with Orlean, that's a real good possibility. But I had no idea about what you just told me about the actual harm to young people. That's something you definitely need to chew on.
And it's interesting when you start looking and following. That's when it starts becoming easier and easier to connect the dots.
Right.
So thank you so much, Brad. And I'm going to keep everyone's line open. So if anyone wants to chime in as we're going through, the next state that I want to introduce is a dear friend of mine, and I've just had the honor and the pleasure to be on the ground in Alabama several weeks ago for the Stand in the Gap tour, which was highly successful. And one of the key organizers for the Stand in the Gap tour was my dear friend Diane.
Line unmuted.
Actually, I'm in the middle of a radio show right now, and this conference call is being played live during her radio show. So it's exciting to see. As we've talked about before, Diana, one of the most powerful tools that we as everyday moms and dads is to, like our call letters for our radio show is WBTM, that stands for We Become the Media. And that's what you're doing tonight. Isn't that right, Diana?
Oh, yes, and I'm learning from the best, Alice Linehan and Karen Lenro and the rest, Orlean. But I do want to say, I think what you did, Alice, with your Twitter events, that is something we all need to learn and do, because that was such a powerful thing to see. You know, you really, I think we all have to get, you know, technology-wise, and that is a very powerful tool, and we saw how you used it beautifully. So I just want to encourage everybody, let's all learn together. Let's all get everybody signed up in Twitter. And also, I just want to thought, you know, you got to talk to John Bernard last night, and I'm wondering, should we not be trying to get our military heroes that are alive still, you know, to draft letters to our legislators, our governors, and you know, kind of like Ms. Orlean is doing, get those letters sent and let's make it a difference. Because as we, you know, we're speaking to John Bernard last night, I just think that's the picture that we need to drive home. You know, I can just envision Arlington Cemetery and the rows upon rows, and those people gave of themselves so that you and I can live our way of life. And how dare we dishonor that? So anyway, just food for thought.
I think that is an incredible idea, Diana, and I think that was one of the key, when you look at the testimony on that Friday before the resolution was passed, I think that the testimony by Roy White was so so compelling on how this diminishes our military history, and it's a revisionist history, and especially as you're saying, I think that's a beautiful idea, is to really do it from state to state and have our military folks write those letters to our state board of education and to our governors and let them know that they are aware of this APUSH framework and they do not agree with it. I think that's a brilliant idea. And just so everyone knows, kind of the strategy that we used with the Twitter rally, in coordination with the Twitter rally, we held it on that Wednesday before the resolution vote was going to happen. We held it. It was from 9 to 12 in the morning when they were doing the testimony for the amendment that all AP and IB had to align with our Texas standards. And so during that testimony, we had a Twitter rally, and we were using the hashtag, the APUSH hashtag, and on Twitter, for those of you that may be on this call that aren't on Twitter, a hashtag is just the pound sign and then a word or several words put together with no spaces. So our hashtags that we used were APUSH, Stand with Mercer, because we wanted people to know that was going to be voted on Friday. And so we were calling on and we were just really lighting up Twitter with those hashtags, and also using the hashtag SBOE stands for State Board of Education, because we knew that the media was going to be using that SBOE hashtag because they were going to be covering the amendment. So during that amendment coverage, we wanted the coverage to also be about the up-and-coming Mercer resolution. So we had that Twitter rally from 9 to 12. During that Twitter rally, we had an online conference call going the whole time. And so we had Larry Krieger call into that conference call. We had our good friend, Kevin Guzman, I was trying to get him on the call tonight, and he couldn't. He's a history professor, actually. He's originally from Texas, but he's in Western Connecticut. He's at Western Connecticut State University, and Wednesday nights are his night that he teaches. So, but he came on our conference call and really connected the dots in who these the folks in the history departments in higher ed who are aligning and agreeing with this new AP framework. And so our strategy with having those conference calls is the same strategy as we're using tonight with this conference call. Everything is recorded, and we are using that conference call as an opportunity to create content, to show the world and especially our elected officials that represent us that we do have access to the experts in the field, the people who are, with American Principles Project, Pioneer Institute, history professors, and we are showing that we're not just these crazy tinfoil hat moms who are out screaming, or as Arne Duncan says, upset because our children, we don't think our children are small, our children are not smart enough. So we've got the experts and we've got the truth on our side. And so, and I'll give you an example. I think that the audio, because right after that conference call, we downloaded the audio of Larry Krieger on our conference call. And then we started sending that out and tweeting. Anita Stapleton's texting me, so I'm looking at that as well. Anyway, we were we started pushing out, even before Larry Krieger testified on Friday, we were pushing out information from him in preparation for Friday's resolution. So I want to put out those strategies to you to encourage you that to look at things that work in our state and sometimes things that didn't work. We need to share those best strategies.
Alice, could I just interject? This is Sharon.
Yes, please do.
South Carolina. I neglected to mention that we are attempting to bring into the State Board of Education meeting with Jane next Wednesday one of our most highly decorated veterans who's a Medal of Honor recipient. So we do think that having a veteran, but especially a Medal of Honor recipient, speaking on this issue is just such a powerful statement. And I want to let you all know that Jane Robbins and Larry Krieger have put out a post entitled Military History. I think it will show up in Breitbart.com, not Breitbart, Texas, but Breitbart.com in the next day or so. And it really does, they do a great job of presenting the deficiencies and the omissions in the framework of our heroes. And it's something that if you show it to a veteran, they're going to know immediately how terrible this framework is. And it will be a great tool to enlist their support because it goes right to the heart of the issue and something so dear to their heart. So I thought I'd just throw that in.
That's great.
Alice, this is Orlene. I was also going to suggest something else we might could do because Hitler and the Holocaust are left out of the standards. My husband was born in Nazi Germany in 1942, and, you know, he's very upset that this is not mentioned. And we have a good friend who is Jewish whose family from Poland were all put in concentration camps. He's very upset by this, and he's very liberal. He's a Democrat. And so I thought maybe we could even get some of the Jewish organizations to be on our side on this issue. I know they have the Anti-Defamation League. I just wondered if any of you have any other suggestions of how we could contact some of these Jewish people and get them to come to the state board and speak out as well.
I think that's a brilliant idea. And actually, my friend out of Arizona, I will contact her. And she's a national security policy analyst. She's got a radio show on Salem out of Arizona on national security. But she definitely has those contacts. And she's been following this issue as well. So I will let Lisa Benson know and see if she can help us reach out to some of those groups and organizations. You're exactly right. One of the interesting things that's happening, you know, in Texas, we used to have the stronghold on the textbooks. Because we purchased so many textbooks with our permanent education fund. And that changed in 2011 with Senate Bill 6 that opened up the door because then permanent education fund could be used to purchase online curriculum, and it only had to cover 50% of our standards or our TEKS, and the publishers could sell directly to the school district, and they didn't have to go through our review process. Well, one of the that just opened up the door where everything is aligning with these with the Common Core, and that's why even in states that don't have that are rejecting Common Core or are pushing it back, you're still seeing it because of all the instructional materials that are still aligned. And I bring this up because Roy White, who was the military veteran who testified against the APUSH resolution, started an organization called Truth in Texas Textbooks, and he's modeling it after the Tennessee organization that was reviewing textbooks. And one of the things that they have clearly been able to show in reviewing these textbooks is the Islamic influence in our textbooks and the clear anti-Semitism, if you will. And so I think, and there are a lot of Jewish organizations who are working. There's a group of scholars, Educate Verity, which is a group of young Jewish scholars who are looking into the textbooks. And so that's one thing to follow as well, and tap into those organizations. I've got Anita Stapleton from Colorado is calling in now, and I've got another question while we're waiting for her to come on. Let's see here. Let's go. And I believe this is my this is a question, but I think this is from my friend who started an organization or started a Facebook group that I want to let everyone know about. And are you there? Stop A Push. Let me see if I undid her line. Hold on one second. Oh, no. There we go.
Hi, Alice.
There you go. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for letting me jump on here. I just heard several people comment that we need to turn this into a tsunami. And one thing I've been doing in the last few days is I just get on Facebook and I find veterans groups and I find Jewish groups and I find Christian groups. And I just write a little blip to them, and a lot of the times I tell them to go to the new Facebook page that's called Stop A Push that has all the latest updates and a copy of the curriculum, and also it has a short little three-minute video, YouTube video, that you can share with school board members, friends, whatever. It's just Stop A Push on Facebook. So that's a great source of updated information. But what I wanted to share with the group is I just looked at a lot of the things that were not in the new A Push, and I started kind of searching for things on Facebook. And so I'd send a little email to the descendants of the Mayflower and say, oh, by the way, the Mayflower is not included in the new A Push curriculum. For more information, go to this Facebook. I sent one to William Penn College. Are you really going to take AP US history credit from the College Board when William Penn is not even mentioned in the new A Push curriculum? So I think when we start looking at this, we can sit in front of the computer for a couple hours a day on Facebook and get the word out to people who will help, will pick up the banner and help us with this cause. So just an idea, Alice. I thought I would share it with the group.
Alice, there's another great organization, the Sons of the American Revolution and Daughters of American Revolution. I bet they would be so appalled by hearing this.
Yes.
And they have large numbers across the nation.
Yes, and I'm from Texas. I even posted on the Daughters of the Republic of Texas that the Alamo was not included. Now, that'll get some sections ready to roll.
Good.
So thank you, Alice. I just wanted to add that to the conversation tonight. Thank you.
Wonderful. And once again, that Facebook group is Stop A Push, the College Board Variety. I liked that. Stop A Push, the College Board Variety. So thank you so much. And we've got another, and I just have to tell everyone about this next friend of mine, Anita Stapleton, who when we were putting together the Can I See the Solution conference in Austin, I got this call from Anita, and she said, well, we're going to come down from Colorado, and I'm going to have my card table and my poster boards, and I'm going to be ready because the Can I See Solution conference came about because the National PTA Association was having their convention in Austin, and their keynote speaker was Arne Duncan. And Anita, I think you converted more people in front of the, in between the two hotels on the dangers of Common Core than anyone that weekend. So you were one of my heroes, and you're doing some amazing work in Colorado. And all of us know about the stories coming out in the news about Jefferson County and the teacher unions organizing for the new A push, if you will. It's an interesting dynamic that's happening. Can you fill us in on what's happening in Colorado and how we can help?
Yes. Well, actually, thank you, Alice. Right now, the teachers have the students convinced that this is all about censorship, and that we want the school board in Jefferson County is a majority of conservatives. It's 3-2. And Julie Williams, who is the stoic pillar on that board, she had proposed a study committee to review the new A push before they would go forward with putting it in the classroom. And the union, because they are upset about their pay per performance scale, they went back to the classrooms, and the students now are actually telling the truth. They're just a little bit naive to that. They're dispelling the truth here. They said, our teachers have told us this, our teachers have told us that, and the teachers have them convinced that it is about censorship, and that Mrs. Williams actually wants to remove teachings from U.S. history that demonstrate civil disobedience and strips the students of their First Amendment rights, which is way off in left field. But on this, it's been going on YouTube actually all day and on Facebook pages, that some of these students that are asked, why are you out here protesting? They really have no clue, except for they're going to support their teachers because their teachers told them to. And we are hearing tomorrow night at the Jefferson County School Board, which we're trying to call all troops up there to help push back the union. They usually come out in groves. We're talking 800 usually, and they bully the board, the conservative board, particularly Julie Williams. They badger her. They call her out by name. They get belligerent. And tomorrow night we're hearing that students up to about 2,000 right now are expected to be there to protest. And, of course, the number of the union members there will exceed that. And we have a mighty, you know, a small little army of community members who are brave enough to come out and push back on this agenda. So we're hoping that people will come out, and we've been told that their public comments will be stripped down to 1 minute because there's right now over 100 people signed up to speak, and they're only going to allow 60 that we know of. It's up to the board president if he'll allow a balance of pros and cons. But typically what's happened in the past is it's first come, first signed up, first in the door. And then the union will, the members, the teachers, the parents, the students that they use are usually out on the lawns with a big projector screen, almost like a drive-in theater, and they have their computers out there live streaming the meeting. They order pizza, they have lawn chairs, they've had alcohol on the premises, and they just party it up. So tomorrow we've heard CNN and all those mainstream media folks are going to be there. And one of the administrators said that the kids actually are going to be released from school about 2:15. And they're anticipating people showing up that early. The meeting actually doesn't start till 6:30. So we're going to be there, and we'll have our Stop Common Core signs, and we've got T-shirts that say Save American History, No to the New A Push, and then on the back, of course, we have We Support Julie, and we're just put a call out there for people to come out and support us.
Thank you so much, Anita. And this is something that, you know, the mainstream media and the unions are going to try to really control this narrative tomorrow night. And one of the things that we've learned, too, is when, you know, when they show up in these mass numbers of people like this, one of the great tools that we all have is our cell phones. And to get video, and just like you're talking about, Anita, the video where it shows these kiddos and they don't really understand the true picture. Do y'all have folks that will be, you know, they're on the ground taking pictures and live tweeting that we can follow tomorrow to help push out the other story? Or can we help you coordinate that?
Yes, I do know there are a lot of folks that will be there. I've asked them to have their phones ready, charged up. The Twittering, I think, would be awesome. If my husband can give me a crash course, that would be great. I don't know if I'll get into the meeting room. I'm hoping to, because Julie is a dear friend of mine, and her family actually won't be there. And they've asked for us to really pray over her, and when she gets bullied by the media, to, you know, maybe intercede after the meeting's over on their breaks, because they're really trying to set her up. The union actually has set her up to escape. And the Republican progressive, actually, there's a large amount in her community. They didn't want her on the slate, but she won her seat. She was elected by a landslide. And so she's right in the middle of a double whammy. And so, yes, we plan on catching as much as we can. We do have some conservative media that will be there, and they'll be, you know, getting everything that they can. I know in June, it was actually right before we came down to Austin, it was June 5th, we were at that board meeting, and they were spitting in my face. One lady, a teacher, was like an inch from my nose, calling me belligerent names, trying to get me to engage, and I wouldn't, and it just infuriated her. But the police that were there were a lot of police there. There were sheriffs and then the city police. They did not intervene at all, and they stood there watching this going down. And I've learned through that experience that they're not there as our friend. You know, you would think that the sheriff's department and the police would be there to keep everybody under control, but I went to the NEA conference there in Denver in July, and so I got to see for myself and hear for myself exactly how the union operates, and it blew me away. I was recording and taking notes, and what we did learn is that the article that came out by Intercept is absolutely spot on. They have 48 members nationwide coming out here to Jefferson County to the union members to do monthly home visits to their members and to do training and organization on boots on the ground and protests, rallies, civil disobedience. And this is scheduled to carry on through the year because we have they've labeled five school boards that are considered hostile because they're now conservative. And so they mentioned three right out, and Jefferson County is one of them. And our other one where the union was busted up was Douglas County. And those are hot targets right here in Colorado. So just to let you know that little bit of information.
Well, and I think that what this shows is just how organized they are, how far they'll go to protect this. This battle in Colorado shows that we're hitting the nail on the head, if you will. And what's interesting about the Common Core is that a lot of the teacher unions have come out against the Common Core. but they're not necessarily against the progressive teaching strategies and the revisionist history of APUSH. So I think that we have a real opportunity to, if we will be smart and be strategic and use these opportunities to band together and really support Colorado tomorrow. And what we can do, Anita, is even if you're there and if you just want to text me pictures or any kind of content, if you'll text it to me, I'll be at my computer while you're there, and then I'll be pushing it out through the APUSH. I'll use the APUSH hashtag and then the Can I See tag, and then we'll be following it. We'll start it at 4:30 tomorrow when y'all are scheduled to get there, and we'll just start and I'll be covering it with you from my computer. And we've got a full conference call on here right now. We've got all these states represented on this call tonight and leaders of organizations on this call tonight. If everyone will send out an email tomorrow, I'll put something together tonight before I go to sleep and send it out, and we can support Colorado tomorrow and really take a hold of this narrative. I think we can do it, guys, if we work together. And then we'll just move it from state to state. When South Carolina is voting and needing our help, we'll be with South Carolina. We'll keep a strong eye on California. We know that there's that 60,000 number of students in California. There's a huge opportunity that we have with the people on this call tonight to have great impact. So I want to go through, before we close out the call, and give just some last closing statements from everybody before we close out the call. So Karen Lamoureux, do you have a closing statement?
Oh, well, thank you for everyone taking time out of their busy schedules to share what's happening in their areas and to share their amazing ideas. As I'm sitting here listening to all of this, I've been furiously taking notes, trying to keep up with all of it, and I sent a bunch of Facebook calls out there. I hit every Arkansas military page I could find on Facebook and posted what was going on, asking for members of the military to stand by me and help me with this. So I really appreciate everyone taking the time to share all of their ideas, and I will certainly be hitting you all up in the near future for some help as I move forward as the new girl on the block in this endeavor. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Karen. And Domenica, would you like to do a couple of just shout-outs? And I am going to send in the information that I send out later tonight, I will send the contact information that you sent for California for Governor Jerry Brown and then the Superintendent Tom Torlakson. I'm not sure if I said that correctly. And then for the number for the State Board of Education. So do you have some closing thoughts, Domenica? And she might be on mute, so I'm going to give her just a moment. And Orlene, are you there? Do you have some closing thoughts?
Yes, thank you for putting this all together. I'm so impressed. It's such a great honor and privilege to be part of this, and it is wonderful how we can learn from each other. I think all these great ideas are just amazing. I actually have to speak for the Sons of the American Revolution coming up in a month. I'm going to solicit their help in fighting this, and I think we have some great ideas, and I'm going to contact military groups in California as well and continue to work with Brad Dacus. Hopefully we will be able to come up with some kind of an injunction or some legal something that we can do to try to stop this, because I think that is maybe one of the best things we can do in California.
Wonderful.
This is Domenica. Sorry, I was on mute. And, yes, thank you so much, Alice, for bringing us all together. And, yes, thank you if you could put that out there in the call to action about making those phone calls and emails for us in California. And I just love that we're all working together on this. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. And Sherry Timmerman, do you have any closing thoughts?
Well, the thing that resounds with me is the pushback we've been getting from the education establishment. And you've all heard this, that the State Board of Education has no control over the College Board or AP courses. And I've looked these people in the eye and told them, this is an abrogation of your duty. You cannot not push back against the College Board. And if you won't do it, I as a taxpayer will. And we have to start thinking about, and I think it has been discussed tonight, legislative action in terms of defunding this course. Now, we have no problem with funding AP courses at all, but when they violate our state standards and we are paying the College Board through our taxpayer dollars to indoctrinate our children, there is something fundamentally wrong with that. So we, as parents and taxpayers, do have control over the College Board and the AP programs. And we're showing it tonight, and we've been, Alice and Dallas, as I love to call you, you and your team have been leading the way. And we can't give up. If you're in South Carolina, please go to scpi.org/apush. That's South Carolina Parents Involved in Education. .org/apush for our calls to action regarding our meeting at the State Board next week, October 8th. Thank you so much, Alice.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. And Diana Cruz, do you have any closing thoughts?
Oh, my goodness, so much great stuff. I would like to just put it out there because, you know, we had Dr. Finn Larson came to Alabama from Ohio. And he's the head of the Christian Educators Association International. So I want to just really put out the information. They have $2 million worth of legal representation for teachers. We need teachers to be part of that association so that they can get representation. We need lawsuits coming, you know, from them. But also tomorrow, you know, you're going to be part of it, hopefully, Alice, if you've got the time, Joan Landis, our mental health, you know, friend, expert from Utah, is coming on tomorrow starting at 11. We're going to try to have a Twitter event because we're going to need help, because one of the things that we're also very concerned about is the counseling plan of the implementation. And I don't know, you know, I've heard my friend Don Wildman talk about California and that they were being used as a sample. So the rest of us, I'm guessing, is probably getting it around the same time. So that's one that's kind of, you know, just really, we just found out something today and, you know, a little bit about it already, Alice. But so we're going to need your help in doing a Twitter event on that too. And I just, you know, they're hitting us at us every way we turn. But thank God that, you know, we have people like these you had on tonight, Alice, and we're together. And we are going to have a tsunami. We will not stop.
Right.
These are precious children. So thanks. Oh, by the way, if you've got a moment, I should have given my time to my friend, my teacher friend that's on. I don't know if you want to hear a little bit of what she's got to say about what she's seeing with the young people. She is a high school teacher, and I think she can give you probably just a bit. I don't know. I think she's still on. Are you on, Denise?
Yes, I'm on here.
Okay, if you don't mind, just share with them what you're seeing. You're a teacher, a high school teacher, and what you're seeing with your students.
Yeah, a lot of them are just overwhelmed, and they'll just shut down a lot of times in class and give up. It's frustrating because I do teach science, and with what they're pushing us to do, I find a lot of deficiencies in their math skills. And it's very disturbing to know that these are the children that are getting ready to graduate and are going off to college and out into the workforce, and we really haven't prepared them. And I think a lot of the talk with Common Core is that, you know, it's for college and career readiness. Well, we're not really doing that. And I think it's very sad.
Right. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, it's going to take teachers like yourself who are willing to, speak out and give that voice of what's actually happening in the classroom to our children and to our teachers, because that's one of the hard things that we've seen is that we have to be the voice for the teachers. Because a lot of the really good teachers that don't agree with this can't speak out. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they really do try to shut you down. I know with what I'm experiencing right now, they're really pushing us towards all these common assessments. And, you know, like for me, I've already given my students three diagnostic assessments that we have to do every year for this baseline data that we collect. And then I'll have to repeat those three assessments two more times, so that'll be 9 total assessments just for my class, in addition to all the other, you know, normal assessments that I give. And so I think, you know, a lot of them are just tested out, and it is a little scary, you know, to speak out, but I know that if I don't, then, you know, the outcome for my students is not going to be good.
Right. Well, thank you so much for speaking out and for being with us tonight, and we just know we've got your back, and we're here with you and for you and fighting for you.
Thank you.
Alice,
thanks, Alice. This is Anita. I want to ask if I could say something really quick.
Yes, please do.
Said, and I can't remember which state it was, that on the 8th they have their state board meeting.
Right, we have Carolina.
South Carolina, okay, and that's the scpi.org. We have ours here in Colorado as well, and our state board had drafted a resolution. Our president of our board, they were supposed to vote on it last month, and Larry Krieger was gracious enough to be an expert speaker via Skype, and now with all this nonsense in JEFCO, they've tabled the vote. They're not going to vote, and so we as citizens are demanding a vote, and we are calling all veterans and patriots to come down. We're calling our VFWs, American Legion, and asking these people to show up, and we just want to storm our State Board of Ed and pressure them into a vote. If they delay into November and keep tabling it, Larry had shared with us at Eagle Forum that the new test prep materials will be out, released to sometime, I believe, in November. And when districts and schools start purchasing those materials, their investment will be made, and it will be harder to pull out of it and convince these schools to not go forward with it. So we're kind of at a critical time crunch here to band together, and I will definitely get on these sites if you'll post them where we can put the pressure on these state boards as well.
And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that's on my list to make sure that we covered that this situate time, what their strategy is to keep delaying this till past November, when the AP workbooks and those books will be purchased. One of the strategies is to locally, in your local school district, and this is in all 50 states, in all of our districts, find out if our districts are spending taxpayer dollars to purchase these AP workbooks for the APUSH, and get our local school districts to not purchase those. And because there's the controversy, that's a good, you know, don't waste our tax dollars on a curriculum framework that is under controversy. And he said, Larry said that those are to be released in November. Is that correct, Anita?
Yes, that's what we were discussing. Now, I do know that there's some more sample questions that he said were supposed to be released here. He thought sometime in October, early November as well. I had heard that curriculum, the new curriculum aligned, wasn't going to be released until January, but he said, no, the test prep materials were coming out sooner than that. So, but he said definitely by the first of the year, those test prep materials will be available, but he had estimated November.
Okay. Okay.
That's good to know. That's good to know. Well, when Jane speaks, I'll send her a message in the morning to that effect and copy Larry, because he hasn't mentioned that to me, but that's certainly an excellent point of leverage with the state and even the local boards. As you say, if this is now being opposed by activists in states representing 23%, isn't it? It would be, 23% of the students taking just between Colorado or California and Texas. They better wake up and not spend money and throw it away. So I'll certainly get going on that for next week. Thank you so much.
Well, and I think that is delaying and do it kind of under the radar. But and I can't say, I said this on the radio yesterday, thank you to the union for doing what you did. Not that you used the kids properly, but it shed some light on what a push is, because prior to this, ever since we came home from Austin, I've been handing out the literature that Jane and Larry gave us, and it's like falling on deaf ears. People are, what's a push? Even at my local board, our a push teachers were there asking for permission to take a field trip down to Texas. And it happened to be the night I was there to give out the information that we got in Texas and then some updated articles that had come out. And they had no clue that the framework had been changed and that there's anything new coming down the pike. And so it was very enlightening. It was a God thing. And so it was very intentional, I think, to hurry up, get this through with no transparency. And now we can take something, something bad here in Jefferson County, the union twisting and using our students, to something good, and that's enlightenment.
Sure.
Right.
Yes.
That's exactly right. I want to, I believe, let me see if you are still on. If you'll give me one more second, I want to introduce the call, I believe. She jumped off the call. We've been on a while. But we also had Anne Marie Banfield on the call from New Hampshire. And she's already pushed out the Stop A Push Facebook group. So we'll have to let Anne Marie know that to say thank you. So New Hampshire was on the call tonight as well. So we've got some incredible folks who are willing to step up and who are with us in the trenches. Before we get off the call, is there anyone on the call, on the board, that has a question or a comment that I don't have unmuted before we get off the call? One person that, while I'm giving time for people to do that, I want to introduce one last person as one of our guys who's been on this call, if not every week, almost every week for the last year, Bob Brewer. I know that you sent me a text, and I want to give you just a second to talk about Dr. Carson's message, and you were talking about that we needed to get that information out there and that it had an effect. I know you listened to Bill Bennett's show, and Bill Bennett's been supportive of the Common Core, so I wanted to give you a second to talk about that.
Well, thanks, Alice. This is fantastic. Maybe he's seeking redemption or something. I don't know. But Carson was on, and he just thrashed A Push so eloquently, concisely, and just it was just unbelievable. Anyway, I taped some of it, and I think I sent you a minute or a minute and a half. And, man, I think he ought to come on the call, Ben Carson.
Right. I will,
yeah.
I will
he's looking
do what
for votes
I can.
And, he's looking for votes, and we got a lot of them here.
Right, right. All of these guys should be speaking out against APUSH, and so since he's on that bandwagon, we want to give him a message. And, Bob, I will get that audio from you and be pushing it out. That's a great thing to push out. So thank
yep.
you.
Thank you
for that. Uh-huh. And I want to, just because you're always such a hero of mine on these calls, and I want to see if you have any words of encouragement, Donna Garner, our hero in Texas, who we wouldn't be where we are today if it hadn't been for all of your work all of these years to peel back the onion on all of this.
Thank you, Alice. This has been such a joy. I've just been listening and appreciating so much all the wonderful people who are fighting this APUSH across the United States. And, you know, we're going to win this, y'all. Remember that just I've been fighting Common Core since 2009. And, you know, look where we are now. We had, I think it was 82% of the people in New York State, of one of the most liberal states in the United States. And they want, you know, they're against Common Core now. 82%. And, you know, that's just phenomenal. We're seeing great strides. And tomorrow, Henry Burke is going to be testifying before the Nebraska State Board of Education against the APUSH. So he will
Wonderful.
Be doing a great job. And, you know, he's been working hard on his report. And so we're making an impact. The word is getting around. And I think it is so outrageous, you know, the forefathers, the one, you know, the how could you possibly, and one of the points I think he's going to make tomorrow, he was telling me today, you know, he's going to try to say, you know, if you're a teacher and you're teaching World War II, and you're not going to be talking about Hitler and the Holocaust, how in the world would you ever explain World War II? I mean, just the most basic, most essential things. So anyway, we know we're going to win this because truth will out.
That's and Donna, do you know if he has anyone who will be taping him tomorrow?
The State Board does a live stream, yes. The work session
will
be live streamed. It is on the Nebraska website, and it will be. He will be speaking at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I guess that would be, what, Central Standard Time in Nebraska. So it is live streamed on their website. It's a work session.
Great. And what I will do, Donna, is I'll pull that video off of there after he testifies, and we'll put it up kind of like he did last time. He had a great testimony in Nebraska last time on the Type 1 versus Type 2 and the standards. So we'll get that put out, and that's
right.
Great. It'll show another state, Nebraska,
right.
fighting back. So we will do that, and then I want to encourage everyone as we're creating this content, whether it's in Arkansas, Nebraska, Colorado, Alabama, California, that we work together and share each other's content. When these videos come up, it's a great way to just get the word out. And using that hashtag APUSH, one of the fun things that I've noticed is when you use that APUSH hashtag, that's also the hashtag that all the kids are using that are taking the APUSH class now. So it educates those kids on the controversy, the ones that are taking the APUSH now. So let's go ahead and close out the call as we do each week in prayer. Lord, we just
come to you once again and praise and thank you for the incredible blessing of each and every one on this call and each and every person who will be exposed to this call when we share it with our friends and neighbors to educate them and to give them the tools to create their own pushback in their own community and empower them to be the leaders that will stand with us arm in arm. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to watch over our families as we take on this battle. Give us courage, give us wisdom, and give us discernment. And we ask this in your name. Amen. And once again, thank you all. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Alice.
Thank you, Alice. God bless you, everyone.